When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Good morning. It's 9:12. This is John Williams. Thanks for tuning in. We're here weekdays from 9 to noon. This edition of the John Williams Show is being sponsored by a new sponsor, Eurelium Life 9000.
The news is getting me down lately. Some days are good, some days are bad, but wow.
Political talk, health and financial scares make it tough to listen to the radio these days.
Yesterday, I screamed at a friend about the elections, and my 401k went way down. And that was one of the good days.
Sounds like you could use some Eurelium Life 9000.
Eurelium. Did the Chinese make that in their secret bioweapons lab?
Nope. Eurelium Life 9000 is an all-natural wonder drug made by an ethnically blended group of scientists wearing white lab coats in New Jersey.
Can I light some up in a big old bong on my cousin's front porch?
In Illinois, now you can. Or take it as a liquid, powder, pill, capsule, tablet, eye drop, nasal mist, earburst, ointment, cream, time-release arm patch, chewable briquettes, tuna fun bites, menthol-scented suppository, or use our brand-new, highly experimental home epidural kit.
Nah, I'll just smoke it.
The briquettes now have 20% more fiber.
Are they gluten-free?
They are.
Nah, I'll just pack some in a big old bong and smoke it on my cousin's front porch.
Use Eurelium Life 9000 if you're stressed about the economy.
Ding.
Health news.
Bing.
Financial news.
Bong.
Don't take Eurelium Life 9000 if you are allergic to Eurelium Life 9000. Can't believe we got to say that, but there you go.
Wait, I'm writing this down. Don't take.
Side effects include dry mouth and tuberculosis.
Do we get to pick?
Other complications may include and may not be limited to runny nose, abdominal pain, and a woman in Kentucky started speaking Dutch.
Is this commercial longer than the Cars for Kids ad?
This commercial for Eurelium Life 9000 is now over.
Pick up Eurelium Life 9000 wherever they sell Eurelium Life 9000. People are selling those hand sanitizers on Amazon and the black market? And have you seen the prices for these things? If you're not sure if you're going to go to hell and there's a pandemic and you're scalping hand sanitizers, you know, St. Peter's going to be there. I think that's the guy. And you're going to go, hey, pretty good life. You gave a lot to the charities and you were a good guy. But oh, wait a minute. What's this Purell thing? I don't like your chances. Let me catch you up on what's going on there in just a minute. The News Click, our daily web poll question, is sponsored by AARP. Visit AARP.org. I go to that website a lot now. I'm amazed at how tapped in to the current scene the AARP.org website is. Yesterday, headline, front page, article, here's what the coronavirus really feels like. But then book reviews, movie reviews. Anyway, I appreciate their sponsoring the News Click, which yesterday said this, your big event is bringing people to Chicago from around the United States. You're the decider. Would you A, cancel it? Better to be safe than sorry. 20% said that. B, I'd say be careful, maybe don't come, but it's your call. I would put that word out, 29%. 50% of you said, I'd say nothing, you're an adult, the event is on. Come if you want. By the way, we've been reporting the cancellations of big events like that Houseware show at McCormick Place, but we called over to McCormick Place. Remember, 47,000 rooms not going to be used now, 60,000 people, $77 million not going to be spent over the course of a couple of weeks in Chicago because they just felt like they had to cancel the event. I'm not criticizing them. I'm saying this. We called over to McCormick Place. I think they're going to be on with us tomorrow. There's still a lot of events still going on at McCormick Place, but some of the big ones, the international ones, are getting canceled. I also noticed that the lady that's in charge of diseases in Chicago that does those press conferences with the mayor, I don't think that's her actual title, said there's no reason to cancel large events. So y'all make your decision. We asked you what you would do on our News Click, sponsored by AARP. And half of you said you would not change a thing. It's 9:20 on WGN. By the way, so Tracy Weiner is on the phone. Hey, Tracy, this is John. How are you?
Hey, morning, John.
Tracy is the Tracy's the voice of reason, but she sometimes gets very animated about it. She almost sounds unreasonable. But she sent me a text.
But I held it together.
Yeah, Tracy hosts a podcast here at WGN Radio called Apparently. with Ann Johnsos, both longtime producers at this radio station. Now they do a podcast for us, and it's about parenting. So Tracy's tapped into a lot of things. Maybe you are too. But what was the thing that you sent me, Trace?
So last night I was going to the grocery store because I was out of bread for my kids' sandwiches for lunch. And beforehand, I asked my husband, "What is there anything we should get that we need, anything you need?" He's like, "You know, maybe you should get some more soap and hand sanitizer because, you know, with the virus going around and all the talk, just to have a couple on hand, like for extra hand washing and stuff." So I go to the store, get the bread, and go to look, and every shelf is empty. It's pillaged. Like, there's no hand sanitizer. There's no Lysol wipes. There was antibacterial soap, some, but I already had a bunch of that. And no hand sanitizer. So I'm in the parking lot of the grocery store. I'm just going to go on Amazon because that's what I do. And I go and I look, and they're charging obscene amount for a pump of hand sanitizer.
Like what?
Like $200 for hand sanitizer to have, I think it was like eight. I forgot what I sent you, the screen grab, but it was like for eight bottles, it was $200. These things go normally at Target or Jewel or whatever, like the Purell, for probably $2.99 a bottle. So this is like $15 a bottle or more. Everyone needs to calm down. Like, maybe they need to put, like, limit two. It just seems like it should go around to everybody. I have a friend on Facebook who was just talking this week about masks because she is a caregiver to her elderly mother, and she had the sniffles and wanted to have a mask just to be careful, whatever.
Sure.
She can't find masks, so she was on this rant. Like, everyone needs to bring back those stockpiles of masks because I actually need it for a legitimate, like, right now reason.
I hear that some doctors and dentists are having trouble getting them, right? Because they've got to use them and throw them away. Use them, throw them away. They go through them all day long. They have to. Of course you want them to. And some of them are having trouble getting them.
Yes. I've been to multiple stores looking for this hand sanitizer because with little kids, like, sometimes I know that everyone says you can just use soap, that's fine. But sometimes just, like, and go hit your hands up with some hand sanitizer really quick. At least you think it's killing everything, even if they're really crummy at washing their hands and don't do it long enough.
Yeah.
So it's a legitimate thing for kids just to let them have it, even in school or whatever. You can't find it anywhere. It's crazy.
Well, you can, but you just need $200. By the way, Tracy, somebody just texted in and said, "Hey, it's called capitalism."
It's robbery.
Does Amazon have rules in place to, I don't know, keep people from, what's that called? Like, it's the equivalent of selling.
Price gouging. Right.
Like, if you have plywood and you're selling it in Florida as the hurricane is coming, and you're selling it instead of for $5 a sheet, for $50 a sheet, I actually think there's laws in some place to keep that from happening.
It makes sense. I was showing my husband the Amazon stuff yesterday, and he's like, "Don't worry, they'll crack down on it." And I'm like, "Well, they should put all their energy on hand sanitizer auditing because it's insane." But for even not even just the major brands, like the Purell is like one of the ones that you see all the time that's more expensive or whatever.
Yeah.
Even generics, they're price gouging.
I just got a picture sent to me from Pete McMurray. It's of somebody's hand, and it has a dime bag of Purell, $50. The same way people sell drugs on the street. I got a connection. I can get you some, but it's going to cost you. I shouldn't be making fun of this. I know it's actually, it's upsetting to you, and I think it should be. That's not right.
I'm not telling people not to, like, everyone has to make decisions for their own families, like how prepared they're going to be or whatever. That's how they should be. But, like, don't hoard it.
All right.
Don't hoard.
Start making your own, Trace. That's what we
have. Yeah, with vodka?
Yeah, with the vodka and the aloe vera and then the
oil. I'm just
going
to start drinking the vodka.
Yeah, that's probably what would happen.
Really. Just make your hands nice and moist. They'll feel good. You drink the vodka. You feel good. Everybody will be fine. Okay.
So when you have a tween daughter, they love Bath and Body Works, that store at the mall. That has all the smelly, like you're overwhelmed with. So my daughter this weekend, she wanted to get some. The line was out the door. Now, granted, it's always pretty popular store, but even for all the hand sanitizers, that was popular there too. I even paid more, like not $15 a bottle more, but to get one of those smelly kinds, the fancy kind. But the line was out the door for that.
Tracy Weiner, co-host with Ann Johnsos, a podcast called Apparently. And as a parent, she looks into issues you do sometimes, too. Thanks for bringing this to my attention today, Trace.
Thanks, John.
See you later. Lots of texts and pictures from people who are listening to us in Disney World. If you are listening to us in Disney World, stop listening to us. Get on a ride, eat some cotton candy, go stand in a line. I don't know what you do, but...
Come on, you can do both. It's a small world, after all.
See, Steve, when you do that, I got to hit this button.
That was really good, Steve.
Hold on. Well, it's going to be a lot better if you can just wait 1 second here. Hold on. All right, thanks. All right, Steve, I'm ready for it.
It's kind of nice. I mean, it's a small world, after all.
Wait a minute, I'm not ready.
I mean, it's kind of nice. It's a small world, after all. So worth it. It's a small
world after all. All right, that'll be enough of that. It's 9:41 from yesterday's show, but it was weird because we were just wondering, given the coronavirus thing, if that was affecting visiting Disney World. One of you texted to us and said, hey, we got plans to go down there, but that's an international place. Folks from all around the world, should we go to a Disney World? We said, hey, if you know anything about that down there, because their website doesn't say much about it, give us a call, text us. And we were getting lots of calls and texts yesterday from people who are at Disney World. I mean, they should have been eating a hot dog and having a soda and standing in a line. And instead, I don't even know how they were consuming us. But I don't mean to say I don't appreciate your help and you're tuning us in, but... You don't have to tune us in if you're in line at Disney World. Just go enjoy Disney World. And it sounds like Disney World is just as crowded and clean and happy as you ever imagined it would be. So go and enjoy.
You know, I was on last night, John. People were calling up and I was saying, what are you doing differently? And they're like, I'm looking at overseas flights. There's great values. I could fly to Paris right now for $395 round trip.
That's what I'm talking about.
Seriously. Live your life.
I'm full speed ahead. Last night, Kelly Cruises had a reception for people that have traveled with Brenda and me over the years. And so we were at Briola. It's an Italian restaurant in Oak Brook. I don't think it's La Briola, though. In fact, I know it's not La Briola. Anyway, so we were there. It was a reception. It was like the place was packed. And there was a bunch of people, senior citizens, many of them. And they're like, yeah, we're going to go to Europe. Are you kidding me? We're so going to Europe. In fact, we announced a trip. Brenda and I will, with Kelly Cruises, visit kellycruises.com, lead a group to down the Rhine River in 2021 in the fall. So put that on your calendar, 2021 in the fall, like October, we're going to take a bunch of people on one of those river boats. It'll be just WGN radio listeners. It'll be a lot of fun. We will boldly go there, I say.
They get seasick.
Not on the little boats.
I don't know.
It's funny. You survive coronavirus, but then you go, yeah, but I'm just a little woozy on the boat. John, I could not find hand sanitizer, so I made some from a recipe I found online. Hey, John, I agree with Tracy that was on with you a little while ago. The world is whacked out of its skull. Everyone calm down. 630, Amazon is not selling sanitizers at price gouging prices. Sellers in the Amazon marketplace are setting those prices, if that's any consolation to you. John, the far west suburbs like St. Charles have plenty of hand sanitizer at the Jewel, at Target. John, price gouging equals Uber surge pricing. They can get away with that, but nobody else thinks about it. That's an interesting point, right? I guess the difference is that you using Uber is not maybe as important as, right? It's not as life important as... getting the hand sanitizer and staying clean and safe.
Getting word now that Elizabeth Warren is ending her campaign.
Okay. I don't know if that's a big shocker.
Well, I mean, it took her a bit of time to do it, right? Usually a candidate doesn't say they're reassessing and then say, I'm going to stay in it. But she didn't drop out yesterday, as many people thought she would. So now there are three candidates running in the Democratic primary.
Gosh, we're down to three. I wonder if anybody had that three as the three. So it's Bernie, it's Joe, and it's...
Tulsi Gabbard.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So I'm going to say nobody had those three.
I don't know why I'm laughing. Okay, so she's announcing that she's going to announce that she's out?
I don't know if it's come from her yet or if they've leaked it out, but several networks now reporting that she will suspend her campaign.
9:49, keep us posted. Steve Bertrand in the WGN Radio Newsroom. Lots more text just about the black market. This is what happens when a panic takes place. People start to see the opportunities for profit. John, Walmart has Purell in stock. John, everyone needs to relax. I just left Dollar Tree. They have packages of antibacterial wipes and large sanitizers for $1. But some of you are reporting insane prices for things. John, I saw an Exiger thermometer on Amazon for over $400. And some of you are seeing, you know, I guess the advertised prices are one thing. I don't know if they're ever getting these prices. But the $200 for a case of 8 small hand sanitizer bottles is kind of obscene. And I think it's also just wishful thinking. And finally, remember the recipe is this. You can make your own hand sanitizer. The recipe has been posted on the internet. You can find it. I'll make a video of us making some of this later today, which will be fun. But it's real simple. You fill a bottle with a quarter to a third. Fill a bottle with one quarter to one third cheap vodka. So I guess a third or a fourth of the bottle that you're going to fill is going to have cheap vodka in it.
So the good stuff won't work?
Add 10. I know, I'm such a snob. I'm going to use Kettle One anyway.
Top shelf, baby.
I'm going to complain that this is well liquor. I don't want the well stuff. I want the good stuff. Add 10 to 15 drops of essential oil, such as tea tree or lavender, and then fill the balance of the bottle with aloe vera gel. Shake, serve. Okay, thanks for that. 630 said, John, I'm in Villa Park and I'm the latest victim of coronavirus. It infected my dreams last night and I woke up in a sweat and relieved. I'll bet some of you have done that. I'll bet that dream is trickling out there. Or maybe my mentioning it now is going to drop it in some of your brains, and I'm sorry for that. Here's why you don't want to be a school teacher, by the way. Did you see the story about the security agent or officer and coach at Huntley High School? I'm reading from Amanda Morazzo's story in the Tribune. A Huntley High School security aide and athletic coach who said he resigned rather than face termination for trying to defuse a chaotic incident in the school cafeteria is receiving support from thousands of people in the community who want him to be rehired. So he's out. This happened February 21st at McHenry County High School. Here's what happens. This guy is working security. He is in the cafeteria, and some kids are chanting, fight, fight, fight. They're standing up on their chairs in the cafeteria, and they're sort of egging some action on. A couple of groups of students are arguing with each other, and it might erupt into a melee. And he said, I'm worried about that. And in order to help defuse the situation, rather than go after the groups, he did call for support, for backup, right? He goes after the couple kids on the chairs that are going, fight, 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 fist pumping in the air. And so he grabs them and walks them out of there. But Huntley School District has a no-touch policy. And if you so much as touch the students, that can be grounds for dismissal. In fact, it can be grounds for criminal charges. Wu, that's the guy, said the situation began when two boys were standing on chairs, fearing a melee. He calls for backup and walks them out. He said one of the boys claimed that Wu had actually grabbed him by the hood of his sweatshirt, pulled him off of the chair, and choked him. He denies that. According to the police complaint, though, Wu knowingly made physical contact of an insulting nature with a student in that he grabbed the student's sweatshirt and pushed him out of the room. This guy, Mr. Wu, says he does recognize there's a no-touch policy in the district. He admitted to putting his hands on the student's shoulders, and that is why, being under the threat of termination, he chooses to resign. Wow. Times have changed. Times have changed. If that's all it is, if that's all it is. And by the way, one of the parents said, well, no, it was a little more than that. My son tripped on the way out, and he was choked in the process when he fell. She claims she saw the video and said that both boys were grabbed by their shirt collars, their chest and shoulder areas, and their hoodies, and they were pulled through the cafeteria. One mother says, my son was tripped on the chairs and was choked as a result of this. She wrote in an email to the Chicago Tribune. Boy, I'll tell you what, I haven't seen the video. That's all you and I know right now. But when I get to be king, he has his job tomorrow. Are you kidding me? Fran, you're on WGN Radio. What can I do for you, Fran? You're on the air.
Hi. I had seen on television one doctor, I don't remember from where he was at, but he said, you cannot use the cheap vodka. It has to be the really strong, good stuff that's going to make. But you know what? You can just put alcohol, over-the-counter regular alcohol, you know, in the hand for the hand sanitizer.
Oh, rubbing
you don't
alcohol,
have to,
yeah.
What a great point. Why are we using what's in vodka that's not in rubbing alcohol?
Well, vodka.
Right, but I mean, why would that work better than just alcohol?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to say, I don't know, but that's what I had heard. That was the only thing that when you said put the cheap alcohol, you know, cheap vodka in, he said, because someone asked him, I think it was on the news in the morning, on WGN in the morning, and they said, no, you have to use the really good, stronger stuff that's going to work. So that's all I know. Repeating what I heard.
Thank you for the call, Fran.
Okay, thank you.
That can't be right.
See, and this is how it happens. Here we go.
I did hear two different recipes. There's a lot of different recipes.
But wait a minute.
Alcohol, some have rubbing alcohol. Some have vodka.
Okay, but the point is alcohol. And I don't know what the the good stuff is, but...
Why not gin? No, really.
I suspect gin would be just swell, except I would rather drink it. I'd rather use the vodka.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a percentage of alcohol in your alcohol, right? Like what the proof is, right? I can't imagine that if it's the same proof, the same measure of alcohol per unit, I can't imagine that the quality of it, the Kettle One, is better than the Smirnoff's or the Walgreens brand. It's alcohol.
Yeah, what about Everclear?
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
What's the test again if you hold your breath for 10 seconds?
Somebody sent us some crazy way to tell if you have coronavirus by holding your breath.
I mean, how close is this to that?
Well, I'm sorry, Steve. So what are you saying is inaccurate about what we're
doing? Well, we're just throwing out four different recipes for what we say are hand sanitizers.
Yeah. I'm going to make some after the show.
By the way, they're out of soap in the men's room.
Hi, it's John Williams. Thanks for tuning in this edition of The John Williams Show, sponsored by Eurelium Life 9000.
The news is getting me down lately. Some days are good, some days are bad, but wow.
Political talk, health and financial scares make it tough to listen to the radio these days.
Yesterday, I screamed at a friend about the elections, and my 401k went way down. And that was one of the good days.
Sounds like you could use some Eurelium Life 9000.
Eurelium. Did the Chinese make that in their secret bioweapons lab?
Nope. Eurelium Life 9000 is an all-natural wonder drug made by an ethnically blended group of scientists wearing white lab coats in New Jersey.
Can I light some up in a big old bong on my cousin's front porch?
In Illinois, now you can. Or take it as a liquid, powder, pill, capsule, tablet, eye drop, nasal mist, earburst, ointment, cream, time-release arm patch, chewable briquettes, tuna fun bites, menthol-scented suppository, or use our brand-new, highly experimental home epidural kit.
Nah, I'll just smoke it.
The briquettes now have 20% more fiber.
Are they gluten-free?
They are.
Nah, I'll just pack some in a big old bong and smoke it on my cousin's front porch.
Use Eurelium Life 9000 if you're stressed about the economy.
Ding.
Health news.
Bing.
Financial news.
Bong.
Don't take Eurelium Life 9000 if you are allergic to Eurelium Life 9000. Can't believe we got to say that, but there you go.
Wait, I'm writing this down. Don't. Take.
Side effects include dry mouth and tuberculosis.
Do we get to pick?
Other complications may include and may not be limited to runny nose, abdominal pain, and a woman in Kentucky started speaking Dutch.
Is this commercial longer than the Cars for Kids ad?
This commercial for Eurelium Life 9000 is now over.
I'm not even sure. Is Dutch a language? Do they speak Dutch? That's a language, right?
That is a language, yes.
Thank you, Steve.
It's not Netherlands. They don't speak Netherlands.
By the way, I'm reading from the World Health Organization press release about the quality of air in an aircraft. Steve Bertrand alerted us to this the other day, but I didn't really share the details with you. So here's literally what they say. If you or someone you know is going to be flying, the quality of aircraft cabin air is carefully controlled. Most modern aircraft have recirculation systems, which recycle up to 50% of the cabin air. The recirculated air is usually passed through high-efficiency particle filters. of the type used in hospital operating theaters and intensive care units, which trap dust particles, bacteria, fungi, and viruses. Transmission of infection may occur between passengers who are seated in the same area of an aircraft, usually as the result of coughing or sneezing or touching. It's no different from any other situation in which people are close to each other. If you're on a train, if you're in a bus, if you're in a movie theater, it would be the same as if you're in an airplane. The recirculated air is actually cleaned very well, they say, in airplanes. During the outbreak of severe acute respiratory syndrome, SARS, in 2003, the risk of transmission of the disease in aircraft was found to be very low. They say if you're not well, you should not travel, but they said the risk of passing on infections, to minimize the risk of passing on infections, travelers who are unwell, particularly if they have a fever, should delay their journey until they have recovered.
And but
clean the air.
I think if you ask 10 people whether an airplane is a Petri dish, 11 would say yes. Right?
Well, go ahead, Steve.
Well, I mean, that was always my thought.
Sure.
I mean, people said that, and I believed it. I was really interested in reading that.
So if you said, is a train a Petri dish? Is a bus? Is your car? Is the movie theater? Is the conference room you're in with 27 people? Those are all, then everything's a Petri dish. But the airplane, I'm just impressed by the fact that that's the same air filtration they use in operating rooms. I like your chances in that case.
I mean, obviously, it doesn't change if you're sitting next to someone, but if you're sitting 20 rows from someone, it's not a risk.
Hey, John, I just used a paper towel to pump gas. John, don't push the homemade hand sanitizer. The last thing we need is a vodka shortage. Sam's Club. I see people loading carts with cases of alcohol and hand sanitizers. That's probably who is selling it on Amazon. John, I live in Washington State, 2.5 hours south of Seattle. I'm trying to have a small get-together in an over 55 community, and I can hardly get anyone to commit. They're citing the coronavirus. Hey, John, I sell respirators as part of my industrial supply business. I have checked with 3 of my wholesale suppliers. None can be found. What's sad, says 847, is that people are paying these outrageous prices. I'm not sure that they are. 773 says Walmart has Purell in stock. But other people say stuff like this. John, she's right. This is pathetic. One bottle, dollar store brand assured, is for sale on Amazon for $51.99. 708 says, everybody stay calm, take Natron, drink vodka. I guess the percent of alcohol is supposed to be 60% alcohol if you're making the hand sanitizer, and some of the alcohol you drink might not be that same proof, might not be that concentrated in alcohol.
Which is more like, I think, 40%.
Yeah, mix your batches accordingly. I'm just telling you what I'm reading here on this little radio station of ours. So United is the first major carrier to announce broad cuts to its operations. They say it's unlikely to be the last, as the virus has gutted demand for air travel. United plans to slash its international schedule by 20% and its domestic schedule by 10% in a regulatory filing last month. United reported a 75% drop in demand for its Asian routes outside of China. Its pared-back schedule is not expected to cut off service to the United States. I'll read that again. Its pared-back schedule is not expected to cut off service to any United States city that it currently serves. In some cases, the airline is reducing the frequency of flights on a particular route, delaying the start of seasonal service, or halting routes if travelers can connect through another United hub. Okay, 10:15, this is WGN.
My name is Paul, and when I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, I considered all the treatment options presented to me. To help find the right one for me, I chose to get a second opinion. leading me to Northwestern Medicine Proton Center.
Proton therapy is an advanced form of treatment delivering precise doses of radiation to a patient's cancerous tumor with the goal of reducing the risk of side effects and damage to surrounding healthy tissue.
Thanks to the care I received, I'm better and back to enjoying my life.
For nearly a decade, Northwestern Medicine Proton Center has remained the only proton therapy treatment center in Illinois, treating a range of tumor types, including breast, head and neck, pediatric, lung, brain,
and my prostate cancer. Thanks to that second opinion, I've been cancer-free for 5 years and counting.
Northwestern Medicine. What makes us better, makes you better. Go to protoncenter.nm.org for more information.
Listen, could Robert change your life?
At the age of 55, I started putting on weight, and I got to the weight of about 210 pounds. Always hungry. The heavier I got, the less energy I had. And about 6 months ago, I started taking the Andro 400, and I started realizing I had more energy. I felt better, and my mind was clearer, and I started losing weight. I went from my max weight was 215, and now I'm down to 176. My waist size has dropped from a 38 to a 32, and I've lost these big love handles that I had on my side, and I just look a lot slimmer.
Since 2004, Andro 400 has helped men lose belly fat, gain energy, and to look and feel their best. Go to andro400.com for more true testimonials, before and after photos, and special discounts. Only available on andro400.com. andro400.com.
Now exclusively at the Home Depot, give your lawn a 1-2 punch with a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action and save 50% on a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Ultra Feed. Pick up both bags, apply Triple Action now to knock out tough weeds, and Ultra Feed 8 weeks later to green and feed all season. Two bags, one stronger, greener lawn. With a 1-2 punch of Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action and 50% on a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Ultra Feed. Now at the Home Depot, how doers get more done. While supplies last, selection varies by store.
It's 10:18. This is WGN. Boy, what a nice walk I had into the office this morning. Steve, what did you say the current temperature is at O'Hare or wherever it was you were quoting temperatures?
We're in the 40s. Let me see here. I've got, 45 at O'Hare, 43 at Midway.
You know what I want to know is, okay, so this feels, I just saw a headline this morning and it said that winter is on its last throes. Whenever you say that, you say, oh, well, I guess we don't, then you get a bad snowstorm and it gets real cold. But doggone it, I was looking at the weather app on my phone. Over the next 10 days, the weather app on my phone shows 3 days in the 50s, 4 days in the mid to upper 40s, and only one night where it will go below freezing over the next 10 days. And it made me think, so we're in a good patch here, but it does seem unseasonably warm. Producer Elif, I'll read this commercial, but when we come back, will you have for us what was the temperature this day last year and the year before and the year before? Can you just give us a sort of a barometer of what it's usually like?
Sure.
Tonight, a little secret in the rideshare industry. How often are bed bugs lurking in the back seat? Oh, no. Oh, no. It's not like we don't have enough to worry about.
So you mix vodka.
Oh, no. Tonight, a dirty little secret in the rideshare industry. How often are bed bugs lurking in the back seat? And you know what that means. Bed bugs in your back seat. WGN-TV investigates tonight.
Coronavirus was not really a concern for me.
But this is?
But this is. So, cool.
You know how when you get on the L and you look at the seat, and you go, oh, what do you know? There's a couple seats available there. And so then you come up and go, oh, lucky me. It's my lucky day. I'll sit right here. And then you just see the tiniest little sliver of something. You're not sure what it is. Maybe it's a smudge. Maybe it's a little bit of liquid. Could have been a spilled drop of coffee. You don't know. But people treat that like it's, you know, uranium or something. Oh! Nobody will sit near it. Sometimes you'll see people, and I'm one of them, that will just sit on the very lip of the seat. Because it's nice to sit, but you just are nervous about that stuff.
Well, sometimes there's a lot of sweat left over from the last person, too. Do you ever notice that?
Somebody told me, they said, that's the thing that bothers them. In this world of bed bugs and the Ubers and coronavirus, the thing that really is them is what they called stranger sweat.
Mm.
I've never seen that expression before, stranger sweat. And I guess that's just what it is. You're sitting in close proximity to people you don't know, and some of their drops are now on your drops.
How is it that this species has survived so long?
Thank you, Steve.
Our immune systems just they progress further and further.
It was a rhetorical question, Elif.
Well, I had an answer, Steve.
We're so scared.
I know. I think that we're letting our big brains get the better of us, you know? If we all had, I don't know, the reasoning of a Labrador, and they seem to be doing just fine. They'd be like, oh, get on a plane. Okay, I'll get on a plane. Yeah, Italy. Oh, let's go to Italy. Woof, woof, woof. We'd all get on the plane and go to Italy. I don't know who's flying this plane since we're all dogs in this scenario, but anyway, it would seem to me like if we just relaxed a little bit, we would have almost the same mortality rates, but we would the temperature would go down. Do you have federal student loan debt? And by the way, Labradors maybe could learn to fly airplanes. They would have to adjust the handles, but I think they could work it out. Do you have federal student loan debt? Capital Law Firm's got the secret to lowering your monthly payments and eliminating thousands of dollars in federal student loans. If you work in the public sector, you're a firefighter, police officer, doctor, nurse, you likely qualify for thousands of dollars of forgiveness of your federal student loans. If you're not in the public sector, that means you're working for some private firm. Capital Law Firm can still help reduce your monthly student loan payments. Call Ray Kaplan at 312-294-8989 or visit financialrelief.com. Producer Olive, were you able to find for us what the last few years' temperatures were on this day?
March 2019, the 5th. March 5th, high of 21, low of 18. March 5th, 2018, high of 43, low of 34. March 5th, 2017, high of 61,
wow.
Low of 55.
Wow.
We're getting ripped off.
They're all over the place.
They are. Yeah. 20 and 60. Yeah, last I guess that's year, March for you.
Last year gave me a run for my money with the winter here and spring.
Spring was, whatever we're getting now, we are owed because last spring was so damn crappy. June last year was miserable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you all remember that it was not until really the 4th of July that we just had warm days. It was damp. It was rainy. It was awful. So we deserve this. At least we got some nice temperatures. I mentioned a little while ago the story of that teacher in McHenry County. So the high school board is meeting this evening. Is that it, Elif? They're meeting tonight. We reached out to the security guard slash coach. I'm not exactly sure what his role is there. They describe him as a coach, but I think he works as security detail as well at the school. And he touched one of the students. He was trying to break up what he thought was going to be a fight. A couple of students were on their chairs going, fight, 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 fist pumping the air, antagonizing, encouraging two groups to rumble in the cafeteria. And this guy removes those kids from the chairs. I guess he grabbed them by the shoulder and walked them off the chair and out of the cafeteria. Are you ready for this? The school has a no-touch policy. I did not know that was a thing. Are you kidding me? There is such a thing as a no-touch policy? I'm sorry, everybody, but when I get to be king, the administrators and teachers will be allowed to touch your kids. And they will be allowed to touch your kids forcefully if they need to remove your kids from a situation that they think would be dangerous to your kids or other kids. They can drag them out of there when I get to be king. But because they have that policy, not only has he stepped down from his job because he knew he was going to get dismissed, but do I read correctly? Criminal charges might be filed against this guy?
They are filed. And then the mother of the son said she didn't want him charged, but he still has the court date coming up later this month.
Boy, you talk about how has it come to this? He said the situation began when two boys were standing on chairs in the cafeteria chanting, fight, fight. Fearing a melee, Wu called for backup and then walked toward the two boys. The two boys got off the chairs and he put his hands on their shoulders and escorted them out of the cafeteria, he said. But one of the moms says that she's seen the video, and as he was doing that, her son tripped and fell, and since the man was holding onto his hoodie, the son got choked a little bit. which I'm okay with, but she's not. So she's not on. She thinks that discipline is due. She says, my son tripped on the chairs and was choked as a result. This was witnessed by school administrators who told him to let the boys go. He did not listen to this and continued to pull the boys for a bit longer.
Okay, so that's a wrinkle right there.
And right? The administrator says, hey, let him go, and right. You don't, I guess you should have let him go. I got to see the video, but I'm sorry. If you and I have an image of what happened in our heads now, I'm okay with this guy still being a... And by the way, there's not only lots of parents that want this guy to keep his job, but there are other people who say they saw it and they corroborate his version of the events. Let's just deal with something that we can deal with. Do you think that's a good rule? I mean, I know that there's instances where we've seen administrators abuse students, and so a hands-off policy is at least a reasonable conversation. But if you think about the video that surfaced, and if you haven't seen this, you can just Google it, the Lincoln Park High School temporary principal. Remember, they've had some issues over there with the trip the basketball team took, and were the right people notified? So the principal and I think an assistant principal were dismissed. They brought in a temporary principal from the bench, a woman who had recently retired, and so she was going to be principal. And the first day or so on the job, there was a kid. She asked to see the ID. The kid didn't show her the ID. She kind of grabs the kid by the chin with her thumb and forefinger, and the next day she said, I'm out of here. I cannot deal with this and these rules. I don't blame her. Okay, my number is 312-981-7200. I want to hear from you. WGN Radio News in a couple of minutes, and then we'll take your calls. 312-981-7200. You can text, but I'd like to hear your voice. I want to take your calls, and we've got lots of them, about this McHenry school situation and the no-touch policy, which is, I'm sure, not unique to that school. Tim's been holding on a different topic, though, so let me say hello to you first, Tim. Hey, Tim, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Good morning. Just on a lighter side of things, because I don't like my hair on fire all the time. Farmer's Almanac,
yeah.
And anyone could just pull that up.
Yeah.
But they had an interesting thing in there. That spring this year will be on March 20th instead of the 21st. And that hasn't happened in, 124 years? And the next time it's going to happen will be in the year 3500. So you think we can wait for that or what?
So spring always happens on 321, March 21st.
Right.
This year it comes on March 20th?
Yes. Sir.
Is that because of the leap year? I wonder what's going on there.
No, it's something to do with timing. If you read into that zone, read into the site that they have there,
yeah.
On Farmer's Almanac, they explain it in detail.
Yeah.
But basically, it's about like the minutes, every, whatever it is, the rotation of the earth around the sun is 1 minute and something. And then it takes so many years for that to catch up. Now, this is the year that when it shows up on the equinox,
yeah.
That, let me see here.
Oh, I promise you don't need to go into any more detail. But, Tim, no. So I guess on the bright side, spring comes a day early this year then, right?
There you go, yeah. I mean, everybody, this corona stuff and the elections and the global warming and everything, yay. Enjoy the day. I should have called you tomorrow on a happy day, on a happy note.
I want you to call during the... Well, I guarantee you I'm going to steal this. I'm going to use this on the bright side tomorrow at 11:40, sir.
Please do.
You have a good day, Tim.
Yes, thank you.
Hey, thanks for the phone call. Hey, L-O-I-E. Loi or Loi?
Fiori.
Bonjour, ça va bien?
No. Ich spreche Deutsch.
Oh, Deutsch, no kidding. Okay, you're German. What can I do for you?
Yes, I just want to make a comment about you cannot touch the kids anymore. And I think that's the problem in the world. They know that, and that's why they are brats, and they don't have any, how should I say, they don't respect the elderly anymore, or the teachers, or anybody. a little slap on the back never hurts.
Are you from Germany? Did you come from Germany?
Yes.
And
if I was naughty and I got a little slap from the teacher and I told my mother about it at home, she said, you probably deserved it.
Yeah. You got to tell me how old you are.
I am 87.
You sound terrific. You sound decades younger than that. But here's the thing. So I think that it's crazy that the teachers and administrators can't touch the kids. You and I agree.
That's right.
But I'm not sure I'm on the you get to slap them bus. It's a weird thing because when you were in school, and even when I was in school, it was okay for the teachers to hit the kids. And I don't want them to do that. So it's somewhere between there and here that we got to go.
No, you don't have to beat them up or hit them, but a little slap doesn't hurt.
I'll tell you what. Here's what's going to happen. When I get to be king, I'm going to put you in charge because I think you won't hit him. Just a little slap will be okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
Well, thank you for listening.
Sure. You're welcome.
Auf Wiedersehen.
I like to listen to you.
I appreciate that you do. I'm happy to hear it. Is that Al on line four? Or Earl on line four. Where do we go next? Go to Al? Okay. Al, you're on WGN Radio. Hi, Al. How are you?
Good, John. How are you?
Talk to me, sir. I just
want to respond to this issue that in the high school. I'm a retired high school counselor, been in the business for about 30 years, and worked in a kind of a rough school, dealt with a lot of issues and certainly with a lot of fights. And if this policy was in place at the school that I worked at, I would have been fired a long time ago. I mean, I can remember breaking up fights. I'm literally having to take kids down, down to the ground in order to stop a fight or somebody getting beat up. You know, and the issue simply is, do you stand and watch two kids beating each other up, or do you jump in and try to save them? I mean, I had an incident where we had two kids sitting in two different offices. I happened to be in the office. Next thing you know, one attacks the other. I have to jump in, otherwise, you know, there was some serious damage. So I think there's got to be a happy medium. But, you know, when you're in education and you're in there and you see two people fighting, whether it's girls or guys, and they're beating the absolute you-know-what out of each other, you have a choice. Either you stand by and let somebody really get hurt and call the ambulance and the police, or you try to break it up.
Yeah.
And our policy has always been, you know, to try to break it up. And even, you know, the principal would jump in and just try to maintain order.
That's a good point. I mean, if a couple kids are fighting, one of them may get the better of the other. And as a parent, I would like to authorize you guys in advance to touch or wrestle with my kid to get him out of harm's way. I mean, that just makes sense.
Absolutely. And that's all that we were trying to do. You know, I remember one case when I had a young man and they were fighting and I had to take him down and I was protecting myself because the other kid was trying to kick the other kid that I was holding in the head and I had to protect myself. You know what I mean? It's that kind of, and parents and people who are not in that situation don't understand that, because they're not faced with that like we were. I think, and now I'm all about, you know, you don't beat up kids, you don't slap them. But when there's a fight and there's injury, possible injury to one or both, or even other students or teachers, you can't simply sit by and just say, well, you know, I can't touch them.
Thanks for listening, man. I'm glad you did what you did, and I appreciate your call.
Hey, I appreciate you, John. Listen to you every day.
That's a plan. Let's do that. It's 10:40 on WGN. I still like the idea of when I get to be King Loy, the woman from Germany who called in a little while ago, will determine who gets a little slap. Some of the kids deserve a little slap. Hey, John, so the male coach can touch or drag your daughter? John, my daughter is a special ed teacher in Palo. She said that they're going to bubble wrap the kids and teachers with hazmat masks. I guess that's more about the virus than the protecting the kids from each other. John, I returned from Philly yesterday on an American 787 that was half empty. It was heaven with so much room to spread out. Lots of texts from you saying that it is crazy how it is. The kids have no respect then for the administrators because they know the administrators can't touch them. 847, kids can do no wrong. Administrators are afraid of lawsuits. John, why weren't the two students suspended for trying to incite a riot? John, I teach at a community college. When I tell my friends that at least half of the students are texting during the class, their response is, I should take the phones away. Your story about what happened in Huntley is an example of why I or any other teacher won't go anywhere near doing that. One last call on this. Elif, where do we go? You said it's Claire's turn. You're on WGN. Hi, Claire.
Hi, John. I was one of those teachers who was severely disciplined and was on, I don't know, some kind of a list for child abuse when one of the gang members that I was teaching in a very rough school, junior high in Chicago, I'm getting upset again, he tried to come into the classroom between myself and another student who I was verbally disciplining quietly because I was just outside the classroom. This guy showed up at 10:15 every day in order to meet to get into gym class at 10:20. So here it was, 10:15. This guy strolls into my classroom just about between me and the kid I was talking of disciplining. And I said, no, you can't just walk in here like this. And I took him by the elbow, underneath the elbow, and walked him two steps back into the hallway. He screamed down the hallway to the vice principal and said that I abused him. The vice principal trotted back up the hallway to get me. She didn't even put a teacher in the classroom to quell the kids who were still in there. They were all ganged up. And I was disciplined, later fired, not just because of that. They told me that I was on some kind of a list for a year for child abuse.
Sorry to hear that. Claire, this makes no sense to me. I appreciate your phone call. I'm out of time. It's 10:43. I'm looking at a tweet there, a text that somebody sent in. It's the picture of Tom Skilling. Thank you for the well wishes. WGN chief meteorologist Tom Skilling, out of surgery. Looks like he's doing pretty well. He had gastric bypass. And now I've got questions about that. We'll talk about that with the doctor after this. Nice to see the picture of a beaming. Tom Skilling just has such a pleasant, positive disposition, doesn't he? And I'm looking at the picture of him in the hospital with the little hat on and the gown on, and looks like he's recovering nicely from his gastric bypass. Only Skilling could do that, make you feel good.
Right, with that picture?
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, he's a resource our community loves, not just because he does a good job at passing along the weather. We reached out to Dr. Matthew Pittman. Dr. Matthew Pittman is the medical director of the Northwestern Medicine Metabolic Health and Surgical Weight Loss Program at Delmore Hospital. Dr. Pittman, this is John. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you, John. Good morning.
To be clear, you are not Tom Skilling's physician, correct?
No, I am not. No, no.
And I would not ask you to comment on his private case because patient-doctor confidentiality. But who gets gastric bypass? What's usually the case there?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, so our basic requirements or qualifications for gastric bypass is really based off of a patient's body mass index or BMI. It's a calculation that's determined off of height and weight. And so to qualify, most patients are going to have a BMI above 40 or a BMI between 35 and 40 with certain medical conditions that we sometimes see associated with obesity.
Is it the sort of thing that people should be able to address with exercise and diet, or for your patients, is that not working?
You know, another great question. It's really individual. You know, for some patients, certainly diet and exercise, can be very, very effective. But for a lot of our patients, for most all of our patients, they've tried that many, many times over the years and sometimes had some success. But, you know, not the real long-term success that they were looking for. And that's typically when patients start considering surgical options really as a tool to help them make those lifestyle changes really long-term.
So what is gastric bypass? What do you do?
So it's a surgical procedure that's typically done minimally invasively, either with a robot or with a laparoscope, and really involves two steps. First, making a small pouch out of the upper portion of the stomach. that small pouch then kind of becomes the functional part of the stomach, the only part of the stomach that will be seeing food. So it gives the patients a feeling of restriction. We then actually bypass the majority of the stomach by dividing the small intestine, bringing the far end up and connecting it to the pouch, and then connecting the intestine back to itself. This actually gives a second element of the weight loss here with an actual malabsorption. Because we're bypassing a part of the stomach and the intestine, we're not absorbing as much calories.
Yeah.
And then really the third way where... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, please, continue.
Yeah, the third way and probably most important way that this really works is we see a true change in hormones that affect hunger and satiety, and even in, influence our own possibility of getting diabetes by doing this bypass. And so that's really kind of the really effectiveness of it.
Well, do you remove those parts that are bypassed, or do they stay in the person but they're just no longer functioning?
Yeah, so they stay in. You know, we keep the blood supply and the nerve supply to them. So as far as that bypass part of the stomach goes, it doesn't know that anything's happened. It's just not seeing food anymore. So it's still making its important digestive enzymes and gastric acids and all the things that we need for digestion. It's just going down a different pathway.
And the same is true for the intestines then. Everything is, I always thought that it was all removed. That all stays, huh?
It all stays, yep.
Yeah. And then I guess, so the person is still going to eat food and absorb food. You say they'll feel sated quicker, though. Is that correct?
Exactly. And so two main things is their overall hunger drive is lessened, and then their ability to feel fuller, the satiety, happens quicker, and they tend to stay full for longer.
But how do they absorb, if the food isn't traveling along the path then, because it's bypassed, then how do you absorb the nutrients and all of the good things from the food?
That's a great question. So diet after the surgery is very, very important. We want to make sure that we're getting enough protein in and truly eating a healthier diet. So we're making sure we're getting all those essential things in. Most patients will be required to at least be on a multivitamin afterwards, and sometimes some additional nutrient supplementations, kind of depending on our lab testing after surgery, to make sure we're getting all those necessary things in, because we are obviously going to be taking significantly less calories after surgery.
Right. So, I mean, now you have to be, if dieting was an issue before, it's an issue afterwards as well. And by dieting,
absolutely.
I mean, and if I may, by dieting, I mean at least making sure you get the proper nutrients, but is it also an issue in terms of calorie counting? Do they need to worry about still gaining weight after the process?
It's always a possibility. We say with any of these surgical weight loss procedures, any of them can be beaten if we don't adopt those healthier lifestyle choices. And so, you know, the diet and the exercise are absolutely just as vital for success with this procedure as the surgery itself. It's really a tool to make those changes easier and longer lasting.
Dr. Matthew Pittman's on the phone. He's the medical director of the Northwestern Medicine Metabolic Health and Surgical Weight Loss Program at Delmar Hospital. In fact, if you, and we're interested in this topic, maybe for a variety of reasons, but you've probably heard that Channel 9 meteorologist Tom Skilling has successfully undergone gastric bypass. And so some of these questions come to mind. So then a person emerges from the surgery still carrying the same amount of weight that they did before they went in, I presume. So they've now got to work to get that weight off, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, the initial weight loss is actually pretty profound. We expect our patients for the first couple of months to start losing, you know, essentially half a pound to a pound a day. The nice thing is because we've had those hormone changes, they don't feel that kind of starvation, you know, kind of hunger pangs that one who is doing, you know, more intensive dieting would typically feel.
Yeah, shoot, then, if it's that simple, and I know it's not, doctor, but it seems to me like rather than waiting for a BMI index of 40, we should make a version of this more available to more people more often. I don't know. What's your reaction to
that? That's a great argument. And in other parts of the world, especially in Asia and in South America, where they often see patients developing diabetes at much lower BMIs, this surgery is actually approved at a lower BMI. And that's something that we're constantly trying to find the right place to say, you know, where should we be talking about intervention?
Does insurance usually pay for this, or is it seen as optional and therefore not covered?
So it depends on the insurance company. Most most standard insurance companies are covering it. It is covered by Medicare and Medicaid. Obviously, we would love to see all insurance companies cover this because we really have seen the benefits for overall patient health with this.
And you can do this laparoscopically, huh?
Absolutely.
That's amazing. Was it always that way, or is that a recent innovation?
It's definitely more recent. I mean, we've been doing it laparoscopically, you know, for over decades, a couple decades now. But we saw initially when these procedures were being formed, there was concerns of complications, long hospital stays, mortality rates. And by moving to a minimally invasive approach, we've really gotten this to be a very, very safe procedure.
How long is a person in the hospital usually for this?
Typically, it's going to be 1 to 2 nights in the hospital.
I got to tell you, I mean, I know some people go, they kick people out of the hospitals too quickly these days because the insurance company doesn't want to pay for it. But I think a lot of people also don't want to be in a hospital. And I am regularly amazed at the things that can happen, heart surgery, whatever, and how quickly people can be discharged from a hospital. It's amazing.
Absolutely. You know, the problem with the hospital is there's a lot of sick people in here, so we don't want you in here if you don't need to be.
That is such a good point, especially these days. It's nice to hear your voice.
Absolutely.
Very helpful, Dr. Matthew.
Well, thanks so much.
Dr. Matthew Pittman is the medical director at the Northwestern Medicine Metabolic Health and Surgical Weight Loss Program. Thanks for your time today, Doc.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah. Pete McMurray fills in for me often when I'm on vacation or ill or whatever. I saw Pete in the halls just a minute ago and said, Pete, come in here for just a second. How are you, Pete?
I'm great. You look fantastic, by the way. John's wearing a turtleneck and a jacket, and you have a pocket square.
I do.
Right. For the radio. it's great to see you.
Pete looks terrific. Mm-hmm. And he's always been a fashionable dresser, but you are so trim these days. And you walk around. I pick up a cookie. Who are we talking to? Steve, one of the sales guys. And you and
God
I were.
Sell. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're all standing in the kitchen, and I'm getting my coffee refreshed during Steve's news. And I think, oh, I'll just have a little bit of this cookie here. And what did you say?
I said, don't do it.
You said, you're going to have a cookie?
Don't do like, the sugar.
Really?
I'm the sugar Nazi at the station. We have to have somebody here.
But I don't think of you as that, although I understand that's your thing. But you also are a big, you eat on a schedule, right? What is that called? A timed fasting or something?
Intermittent fasting. I just started it because that was Dr. Oz's thing. And, you know, we've been friends over the years. And he kicked off the year, the 16-hour fast, and then you eat for 8 hours. So you stop eating at 7 at night, and then you pick up again at 11, which makes sense. You don't want to eat at night because
How big is my eating window? 8 hours?
8 hours. Uh-huh. I mean, you could stop eating at 7 at night, right?
I don't want to. Really. For one thing, sometimes you make 7 o'clock dinner reservations, for crying out loud.
Okay, well, that's different. I mean, there's some nights that aren't going to work, but...
Do you care if the... Is it from... So 7 to... Then you start eating again the next morning at...
At 11. But I pick up at 9. If you hit 12 hours, that's a win. In my book.
So does it matter when the 12 hours are? Like maybe I could eat from 7 at night to 7 in the morning.
Right. Perfect.
And as long as I don't eat all day long.
Yep. Try to do 14.
14.
14 is the number right there. 16
really?
Is a huge win.
So I stop eating at 7 at night and I don't eat again until 9 the next morning.
Right.
Which seems to be reasonable.
That's easy.
But you know what I'll do then at 9:01? I'll have too much food.
Right.
I mean, maybe I should have been eating a little bit along the way.
You could try that too. I've done both. Yeah, I thought I was starving myself, and then I found myself eating less because your body adjusts.
Really? So you find yourself actually less hungry. You're not craving as much.
John, the bottom line is you got to hit the gym. You got to work out. You got to do cardio. You got to move the body.
I don't want to have this conversation with you.
I don't know why you brought me in here. Now
because
you hate me.
Because I've heard you talk about that intermittent fasting.
Yes.
Thing. And it just seems to me like, okay, so you're at a game and you want to have a popcorn and a beer.
Right.
I guess you're not doing that.
I did it last night. I went and saw Jim Peterik and the Ides of March at City Winery.
Of course you
So did. My last drink was at 10:30.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So then do you reset it? So then
I do.
Now you violated your 7 p.m. rule, but then do you move the whole 12-hour
I haven't had
deal?
Anything this morning.
Yeah, does drinking count? That's what I want to know.
Thank you, Mary.
I think so. But it was vodka, so it's like hand sanitizer, which you guys have been talking about
today.
Okay,
so, that's the opening. I have to mention this.
Yes, Steve.
Tito's has put out a statement saying their product cannot be used as an ingredient in homemade hand sanitizer.
Mm, okay.
Why?
Well, I drank Tito's last night. It was delicious. It was.
I drank hand sanitizer, and it wasn't. So, but I think the reason, Steve Wright, is that because it's not the proof is not sufficient to be sanitary for the purposes of hand sanitizer.
Right. I mean, it's where people are, you know.
What's the ABV of Tito's vodka?
Most vodkas are, I think, like 40.
Yeah.
40. And so I think you're supposed to be 60.
Yeah. Their tweet says, per the CDC, it's supposed to be 60. Tito's handmade vodka is 40% alcohol.
Yeah.
There you go.
How about soap?
So just use twice as much of it.
Wash your hands.
I don't think it works that way, Steve. Well, it's good to see you, sir. I just thought I'd say hi.
Good to see you.
Have you share some of your wisdom. So then when you were eating and drinking last night,
yes,
you've then delayed, so your 12-hour wheel. Now, it's 7 o'clock tonight. Will you get back on the rotation?
I'll try, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Definitely.
It's working for Pete McMurray. Nice to see you. Thank you for sending me also that screen grab of somebody that was selling dime bags of Purell on the street.
That picture came from sales. Mo Schifrin sent that to me.
Just a little, like, right, baggy, tied real tight.
People are crazy about the hand sanitizer.
It's Purell in there, and they're selling them.
It's nuts.
And the price you can get these days is, so too is Pete McMurray. I'm just chuckling because I just got a text message from Tracy Weiner. Tracy used to produce here for the great Spike Odell. She and Ann Johnsos, another former producer, still do a podcast. At WGN Radio's website, you can get it. It's called Apparently, and it's a couple of parents trying to navigate the complex world of raising good kids these days. Tracy has been on the hunt for hand sanitizers, and while she was looking for it online, she told us how outraged she was earlier by the fact that she was seeing bottles that should go for a couple of bucks going for $30 for hand sanitizers. So now she's driving around looking for them, and she just sent me a text. This is a photograph of, let me just go back, Costco out in the burbs now. So she's driven to a Costco in one of the suburbs here in Chicago, and she took a picture of the sign that is in the store, which reads, because of the critical nature of several items, we will be imposing limits of 5 on each of the following: paper towels, toilet paper, water, rice, sugar, disinfectant wipes, Clorox, Lysol. The Costco will only let you buy 5 of those.
That is amazing. So what that tells you is that there's been a rush on, like, people are, they're Y2K-ing this.
Yep, that's exactly, I mean, I don't know why they don't have duct tape on there, but that's what it looks like to me. I guess, Steve, it's one of two things, right? Either people buying mass quantities of them, you know, more than 5. I mean, how often do you need more than 5 bags of sugar and rice?
First of all, if you're going to buy 5 pieces of toilet paper at Costco,
yeah,
that's about 6 years supply.
This is like the zombie apocalypse.
It really is. But I mean, so one of two things are happening. Either people are, you know, hoarding it for their own personal consumption, or this is the black market and they just know people are buying a bunch of this stuff, putting it on the internet and seeing what they can get. Now, I'll send you a giant thing of toilet paper. Boy, that's a fun way to make it. That's a tough hustle. But rice and sugar, I mean, really? Rice and sugar?
That's really...
What are you going to do with rice and sugar?
Well, you're planning on hunkering down, I guess.
You're going to be baking a lot.
No, really, walk that out to me. What do you need rice and sugar for?
Well, rice is a grain that will last a long time.
Keep going. I still need some information here.
And sugar?
Yeah, what? What?
Makes the Tito hands... I don't know.
It's not Pete McMurray, because he doesn't eat sugar. Rice? I mean, I would just get cans of soup and a hand crank opener.
I know somebody who did that.
What?
Bought some soup cans.
For the purposes of what?
Well, preparation.
For
to hunker down.
For what? For
to,
coronavirus? Or
kill the virus. The
until the
zombies.
Virus is gone? Really?
To kill the zombies. Hit them over the head with the cans.
At least you got that. That's right. It's nutritious, and it can be used as a weapon in hand-to-hand combat with zombies.
See, this doesn't make sense, though. Tracy sent me the picture. Why would they limit water?
Did I read that on the list?
I don't know if you did or not. You might have, but why?
Yeah, water is on there.
I tell you, nobody's going to be coming out of the house. So if you're going to be in your house all the time, you need these essentials.
I got water coming in my house at a few spots.
Well, I don't know. It's just weird. People
paper
are going
towels,
crazy.
Toilet paper, water, rice, sugar, disinfectant wipes, Clorox, Lysol. Well, I guess this isn't Costco's problem to fix. It's just the problem that they have, right? So, I mean, if you crazy people are hoarding sugar and rice because you're going to live in your basement for a while, all Costco knows is you're buying too much of their stuff and Tracy can't get some. So they're going to limit you.
They don't want to deal with the Tracys of the world.
I know.
That's what this is really
you
about.
Think zombies are bad?
Right.
Get a proactive mom from the suburbs. Okay, now you've really got a problem. Gary, what can I do for you? Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, good morning. Yes, good morning. You were talking about the limitation on rice and sugar, and I wonder if Costco is actually anticipating a supply chain interruption, at least on those two products, and not so much maybe people are running out to get those for the
Right, maybe they're getting
apocalypse.
Ahead of it. And so rice and sugar come from countries that are maybe having trouble exporting the stuff to us or something. I don't know.
Could be something. Yeah. Got me? I don't know. I'm going to go wash my hands after talking to you. Thank you very much.
Bye, Gary. By the way,
it's a pretty good thought.
The CDC is recommending that after calling the show, you completely sanitize because we've got a lot of listeners and you don't know what you could pick up over the airwaves. Bob, you're on WGN. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Hello, John. You know what I heard is that people are buying those products to send overseas to relatives is what I heard a couple days ago.
I believe that could have
potential.
Thank you for the call, Bob. From you to Tom, you're on WGN. Hello, Tom.
Good morning. Yeah, my wife gives out the samples at Costco, but she says a couple weeks ago, guys were coming in and filling up those carts with hand sanitizer and stuff. She says it's just ridiculous.
Which Costco, Tom?
Lake Zurich.
So really? Those probably are the black market people, right?
I don't know. Probably because she said they were filling up the carts, you know, so that's got to be more than five cases.
Well, were the people coming through doing that? Do they have extra fingers?
I don't know.
It seemed to me if you got two hands and 10 fingers, you just don't need a cart full of them. You're obviously in business now. That's what you're doing.
Exactly.
Wow. Hey, Tom, have a good day. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Thank you.
Terry, what did you want to say? You're on WGN.
We don't buy bottled water. We have what's called a reverse osmosis water system in our house, and that is essentially how they bottle water. A friend of mine used to own a Culligan plant, and they use a giant RO system to bottle their water. You can buy one for your home for about $400, and you have bottled water consistently forever for the rest of your life. Filters cost you maybe $40 a year to replace. And a membrane. It's kind of like dialysis for water.
So that's... And by the way, why would I do that, though, if I was worried about the safety of water or something? I mean, it might make it taste better, might make it clean better, but it's still... The water coming out of my tap is still good, right?
Well, yeah, but the RO system is basically like buying bottled water. It's the same exact process.
That's crazy. $400?
Yeah, you can get them at Home Depot or Lowe's or Menards or anywhere. And you can put them under your sink or you can put it in your basement. You can put it anywhere. Comes with either a 5 or a 10 gallon storage tank. And it'll process 25, 30 gallons of water a day for drinking and cooking and that kind of thing.
How about that? Now, you know what I'm going to do now, Tom or Terry? I'm going to get myself some empty bottles. And I'm going to get one of these systems, and I'm going to sell my own brand of bottled water and make a killing right now.
And then you have to worry about all the botulism that you've got in the leftover bottle.
And just don't call it John's water.
Have a good day.
I'm hanging up on you. Thank you for the call. Hey, Lauren, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Hi, John. I heard in the news that there were suggestions that people have at least a 2-week supply in their home of whatever they need. So some of the stocking up might have to do with that. But another thing is I'm not stocking up on things as much for the disinfectant purposes as much as the fact that some of these ingredients and containers are made in China. So at some point that supply chain is going to dry up. And I've been getting some of my over-the-counter medications and vitamins and things and stocking up on those because some of those can come from there. You know, you don't know for sure, but they were just saying in the news today some things related to Tylenol might be. So there's things like that that I'm considering. You can't stack up on prescription meds, obviously, but I'm doing things with that in mind, the fact that at some point some of these things might not be available.
Lauren, thanks for the call. I appreciate the heads up.
Sure.
Hey, Barb, you're on WGN.
Hi, John. I just got an email a few minutes ago from our church that there's new mask protocol. There will be no sign of peace, no distribution of precious blood, communion given only in the hand, not on the tongue. Please refrain from shaking hands with the priest or deacons in the narthex, and please do not place your hands in the holy water. The font is roped off.
What do you think of that?
I think it didn't come from my specific parish. I think it's in general that they gave this new protocol. For me personally, I feel like it's kind of too much. I think everybody's overreacting, in my opinion. But, you know, we don't know the future either. We don't know where this is going to go. And I think that's where these kinds of protocols come from is, well, let's try, like you said in a previous conversation, let's try to stay ahead of this. I was just really surprised, honestly. But, you know, we just kind of don't know the future. So, you know, I guess nobody wants to look back and say, oh, I guess we should have.
I guess. Wow.
But if they're okay with you getting the flu,
what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, they don't put those, much more of us are going to get the flu every year.
Right.
And, well, right, and you're sitting on top of each other in church.
So we don't have those restrictions on the holy water or any of that for flu season.
Right.
Which is something that's really going to impact us.
Yeah, right. So maybe, right. Think about that. So this makes sense because we're afraid of the coronavirus. Guess what? We have the flu out there, and it makes people sick, and they die, and they get hospitalized. 500,000 people will be hospitalized in the U.S. this year because of the flu, and the numbers are still below that. That's why the news click at WGNradio.com, sponsored by AARP, asked this yesterday. Your big event is bringing people to Chicago from around the U.S. We gave you three options, and 50% of you said, I'd say nothing. You're an adult. The event's on. Just come on. Come on, people. Somebody texted in as we were talking about all of the hoarding of food and supplies and Purell and whatever. 630 texted in and said, if we need any supplies, everybody go to Ro Khan's house. Ro's, poor Ro. Poor Ro. By the way, this edition of the John Williams Show is being sponsored by Eurelium Life 9000.
The news is getting me down lately. Some days are good, some days are bad, but wow.
Political talk, health and financial scares make it tough to listen to the radio these days.
Yesterday, I screamed at a friend about the elections, and my 401k went way down. And that was one of the good days.
Sounds like you could use some Eurelium Life 9000.
Eurelium. Did the Chinese make that in their secret bioweapons lab?
Nope. Eurelium Life 9000 is an all-natural wonder drug made by an ethnically blended group of scientists wearing white lab coats in New Jersey.
Can I light some up in a big old bong on my cousin's front porch?
In Illinois, now you can. Or take it as a liquid, powder, pill, capsule, tablet, eye drop, nasal mist, earburst, ointment, cream, time-release arm patch, chewable briquettes, tuna fun bites, menthol-scented suppository, or use our brand-new, highly experimental home epidural kit.
Nah, I'll just smoke it.
The briquettes now have 20% more fiber.
Are they gluten-free?
They are.
Nah, I'll just pack some in a big old bong and smoke it on my cousin's front porch.
Use Eurelium Life 9000 if you're stressed about the economy.
Ding.
Health news.
Bing.
Financial news.
Bong.
Don't take Eurelium Life 9000 if you are allergic to Eurelium Life 9000. Can't believe we got to say that, but there you go.
Wait, I'm writing this down. Don't take.
Side effects include dry mouth and tuberculosis.
Do we get to pick?
Other complications may include and may not be limited to runny nose, abdominal pain, and a woman in Kentucky started speaking Dutch.
Is this commercial longer than the Cars for Kids ad?
This commercial for Eurelium Life 9000 is now over.
Mercifully, it's 11:35. Steve Dale, who does... Steve, what is the name of your show on Sundays?
Steve Dale's Pet World. Yeah, yeah. It's all about me.
In our WGN radio studios. And he's brought with him Leedy Vonkavage, who is an attorney for the Best Friends Animal Society. Leedy, welcome to the show. Nice to have you here, too.
Thank you for having me, John.
What's on your radar?
This is big news. I mean, huge news, because finally we're standing up to insurance companies. I'm talking not about pet insurance. I am talking because people are mistaken very often thinking this is about pet insurance. It's not. It's renter's insurance, homeowner's insurance, and these companies are saying, what kind of dog do you have?
A higher premium if you have a dog they deem to be more dangerous.
Or they don't even insure you, or you adopt a puppy unknowingly. That's a good thing, right? And then you say, oh, the puppy is fill in the blank. Even like an Australian cattle dog.
Give me an example of what we're talking about.
So you adopt a puppy. Say it's an Australian cattle dog. Insurance company X says, you're out of here. We don't cover you anymore.
They won't even cover you?
Sometimes.
Or nope. They might give you a higher premium.
They'll cancel your insurance, basically.
Why do they do that?
Again, we think it's dirty data. We think it's faulty data. They basically have, and the problem is, John, is they won't tell us really what their data is. They say it's proprietary. We can't give you that data. But we believe these breeds are more problematic. Yeah.
Well, so if you have a pit bull, they say we don't want to insure, this would be your homeowner's or renter's insurance. If that dog bites somebody, we have to pay, and we are not going to be on the hook for somebody who's got a pit bull. They just eliminate that problem.
Well, but again, the behavior is not based on breed. There's no scientific data that shows breeds of dogs behave differently. No reliable scientific data.
Is there any data that says that, you're telling me the incidence of bad behavior by dogs is not breed specific?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
Basically, it's as the AVMA and Steve, will tell you, it's based on a variety of factors, including how the dog's trained, how they keep the dog, how they socialize the dog,
but maybe
the health
that's
of the dog.
If I may, Leedy, though, I mean, I'm just cutting to the chase here. And Steve, isn't it possible, though, that while the incidents might not be breed-specific, that is, a pit bull can be as nice a dog as a Labrador, that when those dogs do something, it's more injurious, and that you do have more bad owners of pit bulls than you have bad owners of, cockapoos or something like that.
Okay, so yes, absolutely true. A larger dog, you name it, a mastiff, a larger pit bull type dog, because they range in size a lot, can do more damage than a chihuahua. A chihuahua might be more likely to bite, but all of that is anecdotal. And what's also really interesting, you'll like this, and if you can explain this to me, that's amazing, because no one can. Insurance Company X, name a dog breed. How about Rottweiler?
Okay.
Insurance Company X says Rottweilers, we won't insure them in Indiana, because insurance is governed state by state. But in Illinois, maybe 10 miles over the border, fine. But the same insurance company.
That happens?
Yeah, all the time.
All the time. Why? And again, there's a variety of different breeds, like Schnauzers, Malamutes, German Shepherds, Australian Shepherds. It depends on the insurance company what breed of dogs they won't insure or what mixes. And so again, when you get to the mixes, it's problematic because you adopt a dog that a shelter might classify as a Labrador or a Pit Bull, and it's really not. You do DNA testing, and it's actually a Whippet and Boxer mix.
Well, that's interesting. You just gave me pictures of dogs. And
correct.
Would I guess that these were pit bull mixes? No.
Exactly.
No. But DNA might say, oh, there's pit bull in this
correct.
Dog. And so then maybe we should charge more for that.
Well, again, it doesn't matter. You should focus on the behavior. And that's what we're trying to get at.
Well, what does the law say right now, that insurance companies can discriminate this way,
they can,
right?
They can do the unfair discrimination carte blanche. They can they can cancel, not renew, give you surcharges for any type of breed of dog.
Is there legislation to fix this?
We are trying. Senator Linda Holmes has a bill, Senate Bill 2462.
This would be a state bill.
This would be a state bill. Yes, it's insurance companies that go state by state. Michigan right now prohibits breed discrimination by regulation, as does Pennsylvania. New York, there is a bill pending. But in Illinois, we would love to say, you know, you can ask how many breeds of dogs you have. You can ask if they have their shots, if they've been sterilized. But you can't ask the breed of dog because it really is dirty data. People, if you adopt a dog and if you don't do DNA, John, you don't really know what breed of dog you have. And it doesn't matter. It's the behavior that matters.
So say you had at one point two teenage sons, right? And the insurance company said, whoa, they get into accidents. All insurance companies look at the same data and say that. That's not the case with what we're talking about. One insurance company looks at Rottweilers and says one thing. Another insurance company says something completely different.
But they do charge more for a 16-year-old's insurance than they do a 60-year-old's
right,
insurance.
Across the board.
Okay, but
because there's real data to show that.
That 16-year-olds are worse drivers than 16-year-olds.
Correct.
Okay, but there's no data to show. By the way, you guys, I'm hard-pressed to believe this.
There's no reliable data because, again, before, back in the day, we thought visual ID was fine before DNA testing. But DNA has changed everything. And now the studies show that visual identification by veterinarians or even by shelter workers is only correct in 25% of the cases. So, again, unless you're doing DNA testing, The back data you have is not correct.
Lady Vankavage is an attorney for Best Friends Animal Society. She's been a guest with Steve Dale on Steve Dale's Pet World. Steve brought her into the studio today. Here's your chance. 312-981-7200. Does this make sense to you? Is this a good idea?
I also wonder if this has happened to someone. If someone has been has
denied
experience,
or
charged more because of whatever breed they say they have.
Well, here's what I want. I mean, as a person who lives around dogs in my neighborhood, I'd like to think that everybody's homeowners was going to cover the behavior of that dog.
Correct.
So even though I don't know that I believe everything you guys are saying, but you understand it's just I'm a victim of my own anecdotal experiences. I've seen some of those dogs behave aggressively, and I think those are the dogs. And maybe I should be dissuaded of that. But at the end of the day, I want all of those dogs' homeowners to have insurance.
Correct. I agree. I think all dog owners should have insurance. It should be like car insurance. But again, people cannot get that insurance. Their insurance is being canceled or they're excluding their dogs. And again, we want dogs covered. I agree with you totally, John.
Huh. All our phone lines are ringing. I can't imagine why.
I do that. 981-7200.
Steve Dale from Steve Dale's Pet World. Heard Sunday mornings at 6:30.
Okay, 5:30. That's all right. You're right. If you're on the East Coast,
is in our studio, and Lady Vankavage is here. She's the attorney for Best Friends Animal Society. You've heard her on his show before, and you two don't always agree on everything, but it seems like you're on the same page on this one.
Very much so. And you know, and can I say one more thing?
Topic, Steve, is should insurance companies be able to cancel or charge different rates depending on the type of dog you have? Go ahead, Steve.
Sorry. As to what you were saying before, so years ago when the fatal dog attacks occur, and there really aren't many of those considering how many dogs we have in America, the Centers for Disease Control, so they're out of the dog world. This is the Centers for Disease Control said, okay, it was done 8 times by this breed, 14 times by that breed, and 3 times by that breed. They long ago stopped doing that because they've said breed really is no indication. It's irrelevant because the breed is often misidentified in the first place, and mostly because we know why there are serious dog bites, and breed has little, if anything, to do with it. And that's the CDC, not me.
Let's take a couple phone calls, guys. Dana, you're on WGN. Hi, Dana. What can we do for you?
Hi. My husband and I would love to see this law passed because we've, at this point, owned 3 Rottweilers and would love to get another one. Right now, we don't have a dog. All 3 of our Rottweilers were literally lap dogs. They were just big, lovable marshmallows. And we even had our homeowner's insurance canceled. We were in the midst of selling our house, and for some reason we had a spot in the inspection, and we all of a sudden we get a letter in the mail, our homeowner's was canceled, and we're like, what? What happened? When we called, it was because they looked in the window and saw that we had a Rottweiler and canceled us, like, on the spot.
Have you heard of anything like this before?
Oh, yeah. All the time. And again, sometimes insurance agents actually guess the breed of dog in the yard. It's crazy. They have no expertise.
Dana, thank you for the call.
So that's what happened once. In fact, someone, this is true, Leedy, someone was canceled because they had a Rottweiler. Then I said, send me a picture. It's a German short-haired pointer. It doesn't even look like a Rottweiler,
And not only are we bad at identifying the breeds, but you guys are making the case that it shouldn't matter. In fact, doesn't your bill say that you can't ask the breed of a dog?
Well, that's one of the amendments we put on, because we're getting a lot of pushback from the insurance companies. And they say they want to be able to cancel or not renew. So we're trying to find, to negotiate. And so we decided, to put an amendment on saying don't ask, don't tell. You can't ask the breed of dog. Whether the insurance company will agree to that, I don't know. I mean,
would that allow them, though, to charge a higher premium or cancel insurance if you have a dog at all?
It would. It would. And they can ask if you have a dog and how many dogs you have.
But they're not going to be in business very long if they're not going to insure American households with dogs. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
That's half the households.
How common is this, though? So when my dog nipped somebody in the ankle, an insurance claim was filed. This was years and years ago. Griff was walking Freddie, America's largest wiener dog. And Fred nipped somebody in the ankle. Okay, so now they went to the doctor, and our insurance company was notified. And they told us if Fred ever nipped somebody again, we would lose our homeowner's insurance on the whole flipping house.
Right.
And I guess we would have found a different insurance company because we weren't going to get rid of the dog. But my God, you got to have insurance.
You do. You do. If and we want people to be insured with dogs. It makes sense.
Well, that's the thing, too. I mean, so this is just saying we'd rather not have you insured. No. But the insurance companies, I guess we all want somebody to pay. The insurance companies don't want to write the checks. Do they write a lot of checks? Maybe this is expensive coverage for them.
They say, they say they do, but we've seen the American population increase. We've seen dog ownership increase. And basically, their riding has, their paying out has been flat. So despite there being more dogs out there, people are being more responsible and there are less bites.
Debbie, you're on WGN Radio. What do you want to say? You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, John. Yeah, I've had a similar situation, and it's been going on for a long time. This was probably 15 years ago. I had an Akita Shepherd Collie mix, and the insurance companies wouldn't even talk to me.
Wow.
So from that point forward, my dog became a Shepherd Collie.
Exactly. Really? What people do anyway.
And then that fixes the problem? And then you're okay, huh, Debbie?
It was much better then, because apparently the Akita was the trigger, and they're like, nope, not even talking to you.
But if she moves one state away or goes to a different company, then the Akita's no longer a trigger. Maybe even a Collie's a trigger. Who knows?
And they can decide at any time to add breeds of dogs. Some insurance companies don't insure Dalmatians.
Debbie, thanks for the call. 630 said, I'm more afraid of a Chihuahua than a pit bull. I have never seen, I'm sure what all they're saying here, but actually, to be honest with you, I like my chances against a Chihuahua, but I also, if I had to bet, would think that the Chihuahua, by breed, might be, I'm just making this up, Steve, are Chihuahuas more likely to be yippy and bitey?
Sort of. So they're small, so anything big is a threat to some of them. Depends on the individual dog, which is what Leedy is saying. When you talk to dog groomers and veterinarians, they will generally tell you a dog identified as a pit bull. Remember, we're talking about mixed breed dogs anyway, because that's what the vast majority of pit bulls are. They'd rather deal with one of those than a Chihuahua.
You agree with that?
I agree. I agree.
Here's another call from Gaylord. Hey, Gaylord, you're on WGN. Hi.
Good morning, John. I guess my comment would be it's not so much the dog as it is the dog owner being responsible for that dog. Our neighbor let her dog come over and do what the neighbor said was playing with my wife, jumping all over her, and the dog's toenail went through my wife's bone on her foot, and she had to have the toe removed. And that's not the dog. Yeah, the dog did it, but the owner was very irresponsible, in my opinion.
What kind of dog was that?
It's kind of like, it's bigger than a cocker doodle. It's the dog probably weighs somewhere in the neighborhood of 45 to 50 pounds. And when it stands, it's it'll put its paws on your shoulder.
Well, that's the point, isn't it, Gaylord? Thanks for the call. I'm sorry to hear that, but I guess the kind of dog it is irrelevant here.
It is irrelevant, and actually he raised a very, very good point, because a lot of these aren't just bites that they classify as dog-related injuries. There are people that fall down because of are there dogs that jump on people. So again, these are not, you know, what they're classifying or are talking about as bites really a lot of times aren't bites, but they're falls.
Yeah.
Here's a text message from somebody who has Rottweilers and Poodles, and they say the Rottweilers are the lap dogs, and the Poodle is the only one that ever bit someone, and it was my brother.
Well, maybe there's another issue there. I don't know.
Colleen, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, John. I just wanted to make a comment. You said something earlier about labs being very, you know, gentle dogs. My son has a lab and a pit bull. And they are both very gentle. But I'll tell you, if anybody ever messed with my son, both of those dogs would go after somebody. And I'd rather deal with a pit bull than a chihuahua any day.
Thanks for the phone call. Do you think, let's not, okay, here's what I worry about Colleen's call. Maybe that's not good stewardship of a dog. If your dog is that defensive on your behalf, I get that. Aren't all of our dogs? But if you have a pit bull or a large dog, then you now have a problem. That's not affection. That's inappropriate behavior.
Well, it depends on if a person's breaking into your house and attacking you. I actually would want my dog to defend me.
I guess.
You know, yeah,
But I'll bet that doesn't happen as often as somebody new comes into the house and the dog gets defensive.
That you could be right, but again, I don't have any stats on
yeah
that,
that's
John.
That's a behavior issue, and that is an issue. I absolutely agree with you about that, John. And what we now know, interestingly enough, is that dogs who we often, not always, but often say that dog is defending me, actually the dog is defending himself or herself.
Lidi and Steve are arguing that insurance companies should not be able to cancel your insurance or even charge you more for insurance if you have a certain type of dog. That's what this bill is about. Is there an SB number on that? Something I should know?
SB 2462. And it's before the Insurance Committee. And Majority Leader Harris is in charge of the Insurance Committee.
But you want to hear stories just like those that we've heard.
We do. So, best friends, we are collecting stories. We need to hear these stories. So if you go to support.bestfriends.org/insurance and give us your stories, because in every meeting we've been in with the Insurance Association, they say this is not a problem in Illinois.
If it's a problem for you, I'll put the link on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John. And Lidi is with the Best Friends Animal Society. Steve will listen for you Sunday morning, my friend.
I hope so.
And as always, another interesting show. What's coming up with you guys?
Well, you know what? Have you gotten those letters in the mail that tell you that nothing will change with your electricity bill, but
yes,
then all of a sudden it'll be renewable and clean energy?
Yeah.
And it's very confusing because you open it and it's like 5 pages long and I can't understand anything about
and
it.
And I think, do I need to do something or what do I do now?
I know. Well, listen, some of those can be a scam, and we're going to have someone explain all of it to us.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah.
Boy, there's so many of them out there. Good to keep touch. Okay, news is coming up. And she's right around the corner.